Philippians chapter 4, verses 10 to 23. And Paul writes in verse 11, I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. And in verse 12, I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation. Well, it's probably because those words were in my mind that last weekend I was profoundly affected by meeting up with some old friends. They're a couple who are going through a very difficult situation. She's suffering extreme pain through illness, yet they have a serenity about them. They are content in their circumstances. I think what made such an impression on me is how they're facing their situation with reality and integrity. They're not burying their heads in the sand. They admitted that it's hard for them. The chemotherapy that she's having to face week by week is painful. The future is uncertain, to say the least. But there was no phony pretending that it's all easy. The way this couple speak has a reality about it, yet they also speak of their Lord being in control. They know he is their shepherd who will guide them and their father who will protect them. They're content, amazingly, in their circumstances. And in the midst of such difficult circumstances, to be content like that is literally out of this world. You can't find it anywhere else. Now, let's face it, we can all be content lying on the sun-drenched beaches of Hawaii with an ice-cold Coke in one hand and a dish of chocolate ice cream in the other. Yes, chocolate ice cream is one of my particular delights, so if ever you want to give me something, that would go down well. There's nothing astonishing about contentment in paradise, is there? Being content in hardship. Now, that's impressive. And that's what makes the Apostle Paul's words here so very striking. Paul was in chains. If you've been here for these last weeks, you'll have seen Philippians chapter 1, verse 3, verse 13, that Paul was in chains, in prison. Yet he says here in verse 11, I've learned to be content in all circumstances. He doesn't make that statement, you see, from an ivory tower. Well, let's put it in perspective. The front page of Friday's newspaper helps us to do that. Jeffrey Archer in prison. Could a person be content in a situation like that? I don't know about you, but whenever I see somebody going down for a few years, I look at my wife and I think, I just can't imagine how I would feel if that was me. See, extramarital affairs? Well, how far does that bring you contentment? Money, pots of it, loads of it? How far does that bring you contentment? Can a person be content in a situation like this, in prison? Well, by contrast to this, the Apostle Paul, an innocent man, wrongly in chains, yet he says, verse 12, I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation. See, Paul, who so loved to travel, now cooped up, unable to continue his life's work of planting churches all over the Gentile world, and yet he can say, I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation. Well, for many, it is the best kept secret in the world, this secret that he speaks of being content. So few seem to know how to find it. It's such an elusive thing, it seems. Oh, we all know what it is to be content in some circumstances. On holiday, following a promotion at work, usually content then for a little while. When we just bought a new house or gained the attention and affections of a stunning member of the opposite sex. See, we all know what it is to be content when we've acquired whatever it is we've longed for so long. But that's a fleeting, short-lived contentment. That's a contentment that's dependent on our circumstances. Paul knows here the secret of contentment, whatever the circumstances, verse 11. So many people, it seems, and Christians, we're like this. So many people are like little boats moored in tidal waters. When the tide is in, they're riding high, bobbing around, full of energy, loving life. But when the tide's out, they lie on their side, looking sick and depressed. Their emotions up and down, dictated by the circumstances of life. See, what is it that determines your mood swings? At the end of a day, is your mood always dependent on the sort of day that you've had? When you review the year, do you do that from time to time? When you review the year, does its success swing on the external events that are outside of your control? And eventually, when you look back on your life, will you only be content if everything has gone well? Well, to live that sort of life is to live a lottery. because there are so many things out of our control. Well, if we look around this congregation, well, people will be facing all manner of struggles. Unemployment, illness, breakdown of relationships, maybe not content with singleness, broken dreams and never-to-be-realised ambitions. So many difficulties and disappointments come upon us that are completely out of our control. Well, if satisfaction and contentment in this life are determined by things that are out of our control, then life is a lottery. Who knows whether you're going to have a good one or not? That's why learning the secret of being content in all circumstances and in every situation makes so much sense. It is a mouth-watering prospect, isn't it? Surely, as we read this, we'll want to strive to learn and live out this secret of contentment, as the Apostle Paul writes. We'll want to be able to say with him, verse 12, I know what it is to be in need. I know what it is to be in plenty. Yet I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I've got to say, as I've studied this passage, it's hit me how the desire for contentment is so very low on the agenda for most Christians. People often ask me to pray for their situations to change. You know, people often ask me to pray for them to have a new job or to find a wife or whatever it is. Many times I've asked people to pray for me, for my circumstances to change. But do we ever pray that we'd be content in the circumstances that we find ourselves in? It's not high on the agenda, is it? Now, perhaps you're in a job that you hate, that you desperately want to get out of. Would you pray as Paul does? Would you pray for contentment in it and then do what Paul does? He was in prison. He wasn't in a position he wanted to be in. But he set about winning for people for Christ while he was there. That's a great way to be in a job that you don't enjoy. Pray for contentment and then win your colleagues for Christ. It's a great way to live if you're in a job that you do enjoy, actually. Learn the secret of being content in all circumstances. That would be a great secret to learn. Now, primarily, the circumstances Paul is addressing here are financial. That's the context of these verses. You see, he wrote verses 11 and 12 off the back of verse 10. Having just received financially from the church in Philippi, look at verse 10, he says, I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you've renewed your concern for me. And this at last is not, well, at last you've got around to it. You've at last sent me a present. It's not that. But rather in these last days, latterly, you've renewed your concern for me. It's clear, actually, as we read on in verse 10, that it's not that he was impatient with them. At last you've sent me. But you see, the end of verse 10, he knows that until now, they'd not had an opportunity to show their concern for him. Paul then rejoices in their financial generosity, but not because he's in need of their gift. And that's where we come into these key verses. Verse 11, I'm not saying this because I'm in need, for I've learned to be content whatever the circumstances. So Paul, how has Paul learned financial contentment? What's the secret of being content, whether you're in need or in plenty? Well, it is learned. You see, that's the word that he uses both in verse 11 and verse 12. This is not something that's just going to happen to us. We're not going to wake up one day and find ourselves content any more than we'll wake up one day and find ourselves fit or slim or whatever the thing is for us. And you see, no one ever drifted into good habits and will never drift into good spiritual disciplines. Verse 12, Paul learned the secret of being content in any and every situation. And primarily, we learn it in the school of life. You see, Paul learned contentment from going through times of need and times of plenty, verse 12. Paul knew times in his life, end of verse 12, when he had a full belly and times when he was starving. And it was going through those experiences that he learned what it was to be content. Well, you see, going through times of poverty, we can learn contentment. It sounds bizarre to us. I think of a newlyweds with a small flat, not much room, struggling to make ends meet financially. The burden of the financial situation and the fact that they haven't got much room made more difficult by the arrival of a little mouth to feed. Well, now they might look back to those times from relative security. Well, those times must have been so awful for you, I say. No, they say back, far from it. We had each other. And the Lord provided time and again. Oh no, those weren't awful times. Those were some of the happiest times of our life. Well, yeah, I've met Christians who've been through real hardship. You see, I know nothing really of poverty. But Christians from other parts of the world who know real poverty, they speak of the wonderful provision of the Lord. It's in those experiences of life that Paul learned the secret of contentment, the secret of knowing that the Lord meets needs. That is such a liberating thing to know and to live. It doesn't matter what happens to me. I may be destitute, the Lord will meet my needs. Well, Paul learned the secret of contentment by living through times of need. But notice too, Paul learned the secret of contentment through living in plenty. It's there in verse 12. See, I guess most of us think that it's more difficult to be content in hardship. Most of us probably look at the newspaper and we see people in great troubles and we think, how do they learn to be content? We look on our television screens and we see some horrific sights and we think, how can they possibly be content in that situation? Most of us think that it's more difficult to be content in hardship, but doesn't our society demonstrate how hard it is to be content in plenty? Here we are, materialistic London. It's hardly the picture of contentment. Do you meet contentment walking up and down London streets every day? I don't. Well, think again of this week's headline maker. Here's a man with so much, who I presume is so far from content. And that was long before the events of these past weeks that he wasn't content, I presume. I think of Raquel Welch, the sex goddess of Hollywood of the late 60s and early 70s. I remember coming across Raquel Welch for the first time on a film when I was about 8. And of course, being 8 years old, I was particularly struck in the film 2000 Years BC when Raquel Welch wore virtually nothing through the whole film. Of course, I've grown up from that now. I'm not interested in that sort of thing at all. But anyway, I remember it well now. And, well, she wrote this. I've acquired everything I wanted, yet I was totally miserable. I thought it very peculiar that I'd acquired everything I wanted as a child, wealth, fame, accomplishment in my career. I had beautiful children, a lifestyle that seemed terrific, yet I was totally and miserably unhappy. I found it very frightening that one could acquire all these things and still be so miserable. That is very striking, isn't it? We can have so much, we can live in plenty and be far from content. Maybe we know that ourselves this morning. Maybe that's why we've turned up this morning. Indeed, in having plenty, we can easily get caught up with this sort of insatiable appetite for more that everyone seems to have around us. It seems remarkably hard to be able to learn contentment in plenty. You have a video and you want DVD. You have a mobile phone and you want a smaller one. You have a camera and you want a digital one, and so it goes on. Well, in the cold light of day, it seems so ridiculous and so shallow, but it's remarkably easy to get caught up in it all, isn't it? It is hard to learn contentment in plenty, but Paul learned the secret of contentment in plenty. Because Paul learned that contentment does not come from outside. Look at verse 13. See, this is why, this is how, this is the secret. I can do everything through him who gives me strength. The secret of contentment comes from the depth of our relationship with Jesus Christ. I can do everything through him who strengthens me. When we have him, well, we can be content in any circumstance. That's the secret. When the Lord is everything to me, then life's circumstances do not determine my contentment. My mood is no longer circumstance dependent, because if the Lord is everything to me, I have everything I want. No one can take him away. No circumstance can rob me of him. You see, Paul learned the secret of being content in any and every situation because of this love for the Lord. Well, will you flip back with me to chapter 1, verse 21? We'll see it there. We'll see it right through Philippians. But you remember a few weeks ago when we were looking at this astonishing verse? This is why Paul was content in every situation. Chapter 1, verse 21. Because to Paul, to live is Christ. That's everything to him. Look on to chapter 3, verse 8. You'll see the same sentiment right through the book. In chapter 3, verse 8, he said, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I've lost all things. I consider them rubbish, that I may gain Christ. And then again, we saw it a few weeks ago in chapter 3, verse 13. He says, one thing I do, one thing. This is the one thing that his life is about. One thing, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenwards in Christ Jesus. You see, he wants to get to know Jesus better and better. Jesus was everything to Paul, so it didn't matter what his bank balance looked like, whether it was in the red or massively in the black, he always had Jesus. And he discovered time and again that Jesus was all he needed because Jesus met all his needs. And that is his testimony to the Philippians in verse 19 of chapter 4 in our passage today. Look at verse 19 of chapter 4. He says, my God will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. And that is not just a grand statement, a grand theological statement. That's Paul writing out of his experience. My God, you see, he knew this from his own experience. My God will meet all your needs. He's met all my needs. He'll meet your needs too. For Paul then, to live is Christ. But you see, if for us to live is money, we cannot be content in all circumstances. We will be slaves of market forces. If for us to live is pleasure, we cannot be content in all circumstances. We are slaves of time and age and health and death. But when Jesus is everything, everything else pales into insignificance. When I know Jesus so well, of course I'll be content whatever. Because I know that he'll deal with whatever. That's why Paul is content in all circumstances. But he's never content, you notice, with his own level of his Christian walk. Living verses 11 and 12 will not leave me apathetic and passive towards everything. No, Paul is at full stretch to know Jesus better. Chapter 3, verse 13, as we've just read. I've learned to be content in all circumstances, and when I've learned that, then we'll see, I'll know the joy of generous giving, as the Philippians did. Very briefly as we close, verses 14 to 19, the joy of generous giving. You see, we've seen Paul knew what it was to be content, but he was grateful for the generous gift of the Philippians in verse 14. Although he's got everything, he says, yet it was good of you to share in my troubles. They'd gone out of their way, we read, out of their way to be sure that Paul was not in need. Verse 15. Moreover, as you Philippians know, in the early days of your acquaintance with the gospel, when I set out from Macedonia, not one church shared with me in this matter of giving and receiving, except you only. For even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent me aid again and again when I was in need. The Philippians were so generous in their giving. And why does Paul mention all this? I mean, he's just been rattling on about how content he was. Why does he mention this giving of the Philippians? Well, look at verse 17. Not that I'm looking for a gift. No, you see, I'm content in all circumstances. Not that I'm looking for a gift, but I'm looking for what may be credited to your account. I wonder if we've realized this yet. Giving contributes to our spiritual growth and stature. It does us good when we give. Well, have you noticed that? It is good, isn't it, to give? It is good to give generously. It makes you feel good, doesn't it, apart from anything else? It's good for you spiritually. Being content with Jesus and knowing that he'll meet my needs releases me to give. When we give generously, then verse 18, it is a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to God. Oh, Christian, do you want to please God? Yes, I do, you say. Then give generously to gospel work. That pleases him. Christian, do you still want to please God? Or would you rather hold on to your money until we've learned to be content in all circumstances? Well, we're unlikely to want to give to the Philippians as the Philippians gave until we have learned to be content in all circumstances. We think, oh no, this giving is part of learning to be content in all circumstances. See, it's this double thing. As I learn to be content, I can give. As I give, I learn to be content. Start to give generously, you see, and you can be assured, verse 19, my God, says Paul, will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. Again, this is why Paul is completely content. In his need, Paul knows that this one will meet all his needs. He has glorious riches at his fingertips. If you're in Christ, you couldn't be more wealthy. Everything that God has is in Christ Jesus. He'll meet your needs. Well, no wonder Paul writes verse 20, to our God and Father be glory forever and ever, amen. Well, that's virtually it, the book of Philippians. We've seen the huge evangelistic agenda. This agenda of Paul's to exalt Christ, to magnify Christ. That is his longing. That's everything for Paul, because Christ is everything for Paul. He wants to get to know Christ more and more, better and better. And he longs for others to know him and then to know him better and better. And as we've noticed, prison won't stop him doing that. I love these last verses, verse 21. So he says, chapter 4, verse 21, greet all the saints in Christ Jesus. The brothers who are with me send greetings. All the saints send you greetings, especially those who belong to Caesar's household. Especially those who belong to Caesar's household. You see, as this evangelist writes from prison, we see the evangelistic effectiveness of his imprisonment. Paul has proclaimed Christ to the palace guard. And now people from Caesar's household have become Christians. Nothing can keep him down because Jesus is everything to him. And so his circumstances won't stop him. Now the call for us is that our circumstances don't stop us. This book is a call to conduct ourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. That's the expression in chapter 1, verse 27. Conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. That could be the key verse of the book. And what does that actually mean? Well, as we close, we're told in verse 27 and 28 what it means to conduct ourselves in a manner worthy of Christ. See it there in verse 27? Stand firm in one spirit. Contend as one man for the faith of the gospel without being frightened in any way by those who oppose us. We've heard the sermons. Now we've got to live the life. Let's turn to prayer. Well, a moment of silence for each one of us to make our own response to God as he's been challenging us or encouraging us.